Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome as we journey together in the third Sunday of Advent. Let us begin with the words as printed in our bulletin. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made.
The Lord is our righteousness. Let us wait with hope and expectation.
I invite all who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Continue our worship together with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws near to us with salvation.
Amen.
God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sins. Everlasting God, you love justice and hate wrongdoing.
We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are implicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways. For the sake of our
God clothed you with the garments of salvation and covers you with the robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And friends, we now journey now. It's the third Sunday of Advent, so we light our third candle, which is the joy candle. We light this candle in joy while we wait. People, Lord God. Open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, invite our children to come forward, lacking any children present, welcome my children.
Yes.
Well, we have an interesting text today, don't we? And so I wanted to help the children prepare for Christmas coming with joy, because it is now so close, right? Just 1 week away, they'll be out of school, and then Christmas, and you'll get this package. So my advice to everyone here today, especially to our children, is I want to explain to you how to open a package unto perfection. Because, of course, the great danger of Christmas, in our household at least, is within 20 minutes you have these great piles of wrapping paper everywhere, and great, great piles, and you're always in danger of losing a ferret amongst those. So to wrap a package unto perfection is to unwrap it and then wrap it up perfectly so you don't have a pile. And the trick is you have to find that first end, that first tape, and you have to slowly just peel it off. It's going to take a little bit of time. You got it. As soon as you get that first little tip up, then you can get the tape off.
Well, come on, just rip it.
Wait. We'll get there. But if you get that first part off, then you can start.
What's taking so long?
Get it up. Now once you get that off, you have to go to that next piece of tape. Okay, I'll just rip it. And that, my friends, is how you unwrap a present to perfection. But John today wants to talk to us a bit about wrappings and about what's inside. And what is more important, the wrapping paper or what's inside? What's inside the gift? And John tells us today that the same thing about us, that what's really important about us is not all of our wrappings. It's not our car, it's not our clothes, it's not our what we've done. What's really special about ourselves is inside all of that wrapping is this beautiful person loved by God. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. Two, three. Dear God. Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for my inside.
Thank you for my inside. Amen. Good morning. First reading is from the book of Zephaniah. Hear now the word. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time when I gather you For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 6 of your bulletin. Please join me by reading the bold print. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might, and has become my salvation.
With joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation.
And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name, make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim that this name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. A reading from the letter to the Philippians. Hear now the word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has 2 coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages.' As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them, saying, I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, I've been waiting all year to say this, so happy Advent, you brood of vipers. I get fired up by this time. And I'm in great danger of going on a rant and a tangent. Thankfully, Adult Forum allowed me to do some of that this morning. If you ever want to see a tangent, come to Adult Forum and just say some key words. But so I have to refrain myself because now I'm the minister of the gospel. I must speak the good news. And of course, that might be the second funny part of our text. Maybe you didn't see it as funny. But after John has this long spiel and we're all squirming in our seats, the text says, and many other ways of exhortation, he preached the good news. So what he said was good news. So we must understand the good news of it. And beyond that, I think I get fired up by this text because the people come to John with that one question that I think that we at most like to be asking. What should we do? This and this has happened. What should we do? And so John has some answers to them. And so let us first consider how this text is good news. And then we can look a little bit at the advice John has to offer. I think it is always timely and relevant for us. So first, let me say why these verses don't sound like good news. It's because we are used to hearing, and we've heard the story before, and we've asked ourselves to ask the wrong questions. We ask ourselves, am I the wheat, or am I the chaff? Am I the wheat that is going to the granary, which we then interpret to be heaven, or am I the chaff that is going into the fires of hell to be burned? That may be the story we're used to hearing. And that story is many things, but one thing it is not is good news. So let us assume for a moment that that thought pattern itself needs to be considered chaff and taken out and done away with so the truth of the good news can come forward. And if you're careful, you saw what I just did there, didn't you? Just reframed the whole question. This is not an issue of whether you are the wheat or the chaff, because the truth is, we are the whole plant. We contain both wheat and chaff. And I know wheat may be something we're not very familiar with. So if you imagine corn, in order to get to that yummy yellow part with the melted butter and the goodness, you have to first husk it, right? The husk is the chaff. The husk covers the center that you want to get to. The question is not, am I wheat or chaff? The question we should be asking ourselves is, what is the outer shell of the chaff in my own life that I need to get a rhythm in order for the grain of my soul to shine. And once we understand that, we can begin to see the good news. Because we are always a grain of wheat surrounded by lots of chaff. And it's not just our spiritual leaders who tell this to us. We know this as well by psychology, right? We each have a persona that we manifest around ourselves, a false set of identities, masks, whatever you want to call them. You are not the same person when you were at work than you are at home. You're not the same person when you're with your friends, because we develop a persona of that person. Well, which one are you really of all those masks you wear in a given week or in a given year? Well, you're none of them, right? Who you truly are is buried deep behind all these masks, behind our cars, behind our clothes, behind all the exterior. There is your true self. And the tragedy of the world is that for most of us, we'll never get to know your true self, surrounded by the masks that we play. But God knows who you truly are. And one of my favorite passages comes from the Colossians. Let me just read you the end of it. Your life is now hidden in God, in Christ. You see, God knows who you truly are. God is connected to who you truly are. And if we were to read just a few more passages, Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, not on the things below. For you have died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There you are, your true self is connected to God, held tight by Christ. And that, my friends, is the paradox of the spiritual journey. Is the more you foster an encounter with God, get to know God, the more you simultaneously get to know your true self. You can't separate those two. The journey of the one connects you to the other. And so again, we say, what in this journey is the shaft, these false senses of who I am that need to go away for the true me to shine? And we have the confidence in these verses to know that this is what God is doing in our lives. Removing that which needs to die so we can rise anew. And this is the language of our baptism. You have died to your own self, and you are rising now with Christ. We are both wheat and chaff. And our journey in this life is to try and remove as much chaff as possible. But that's not bad news, that is good news, because God is the one who's doing all the removal. And it's called grace. And friends, you are a symbol of the whole world. Within you is everything that is in the entire cosmos. We are a symbol of the whole cosmos. And so your transformation, our individual transformation, is also the symbol of the universal transformation taking place in God through Christ. So it's not just our shaft that is being burnt away by the presence of God. It's all the shaft in the world. The greed, the hatred, the violence, the injustice, the oppression, all of this will be burned away by the presence of God. And friends, that is not just good news. That is terrific news. That is excellent news because God's presence will bring the fullness of love and peace and joy in justice. This is not a scary text. This is a text about joy. Because this is what God is doing in Christ Jesus, burning away the shadow so that our grain can rise. And once we understand the good news, then maybe we can understand a little bit what the time I have remaining to not get lost in a tangent. Because the people now come to John. What now should we do? That's the question everyone keeps asking. What should we do? And there's three different types of groups. We come to them with three different types of answers, but they all have one thing in common. They all boil down to something very simple. And John basically says, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. If you got a lot of clothes, don't be a jerk and hoard it. Share some. If you got too much food, don't be a jerk and hoard it. Give it to somebody else. If you're a tax collector, don't be a jerk and swindle people. If you're in the military, which that's probably talking about law enforcement, don't falsely accuse somebody. Don't be a jerk. And this reminds me of the golden rule. This is the essence of the golden rule. That rule that all the great religions and philosophies in the world agree on. Don't do to others what you want to be done to you. And Hillel the Elder, a Jewish rabbi about this time in the ancient world, said it also in the negative. Whatever is hateful to you, don't do to the other. This is John's sum total of his advice to people coming to him. In light of the transformation of God, what should we do? Well, you live in this moment by not being a jerk. And why this is so radically transformative is notice what he didn't say. John didn't say, leave the tax collector profession. He didn't say, what you must do now is burn the system down. He didn't say, cause a revolution. He didn't say, flee to the desert. He said, be a shining light and salt where you are by doing what is right. And that is transformative. Because we all want to burn down the system, it seems. We all want the great revolution. And not that there's anything wrong with the idea of reforming a system. Friends, we are the church with the motto, the church must always be reforming. The system must always be reformed. But what John seems to be indicating to us, that reform always and at first starts in our own hearts. That I live into the presence of God's reign in my life, and I begin to live that out with simple steps, as simple as just not being a jerk. And friends, if you think that in itself is not transformative enough, just imagine if every person who bore the name of Christian in this world didn't act like a jerk, how transformative that would be for society. It is the simple steps when we reflect on our own life, beyond our own shadow, let that burn away to live into the promise of God. This is the message of John the Baptist. It's a message grounded in hope, because it is Christ who has come. Christ who is present, who is the presence of God on earth. who has promised to come again to heal the world, to heal the cosmos, and to bring us all into the reign of peace. Amen.
Amen.
As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence. God who reforms, fill your church with courage to do your will. Empower your people in taking risks that bear fruit. Raise up leaders who will proclaim the good news. Lord, in your mercy,
hear us.
God who creates, hold in balance diverse ecosystems. Encourage efforts to protect wild lands from devastation. Care for animals and people in the path of destructive fires, storms, and other disasters. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God who leads, this world cries out for true justice. Guide legislatures, judges, and lawyers in actions steeped in love and restoration. Increase the desire to advocate for all who are confronted with discrimination and oppression based on race, gender, sexuality, class, or age. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God who embraces, help us us notice the places where your people are hurting or sick. Especially Aaron, Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Lael, Cameron, Marty, Tisha, Sabine, Rhonda, Victor, victims of Hurricane Helene and Milton, victims of the wars around the world, national world disasters. Show your compassion and remember your people in love. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God who abides, you dwell among the people of this congregation. Deepen our relationships with one another and make us aware of the diverse talents and gifts present here. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God who consoles, thank you for the time we have had with loved ones who have died. Comfort us with the promise of everlasting life in you. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayers.
Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And we invite us all, everyone now, to rise as we sing our offering hymn. provider. By your merciful hand, abundance springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your word. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this table is the gift of God for all of the people, and all are welcome to come and partake at this meal. In a few moments, the ushers will come. We'll ask you to fill in our rail from right to left. Come with your hand extended out to receive the bread in your hand, and then reach in once the wine is brought about to take either the red glass, which is wine, or the clear glass, which is grape juice. If you wish to come and just receive a blessing, come with your arms folded, but know that all who come, and all means all, is welcome here. Please, because our Advent lamp, Advent wreath, be aware of the height of your plants. So if you're tall, be careful standing up over you. With that all said, my friends, the table is set. Please come. Amen. may the body of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for the gifts of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy and for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, just pause a moment for announcements, and in our word of the week, which are the insert, you'll see it's a very busy week. So just to recap a few things, we have book club study at both Tuesday and Thursday at 11 and then 5. We have our Wednesday evening holding prayer service at 6. And it is going to be the last of our Advent holding evening, so if you're going to hold now to make one, this is your last chance. That will be at 6. And we will have an open chapel from 12 to 1 on Wednesday. For anyone wishing just to have a silence of contemplation. And then our friends at the Presbyterian Church on Saturday will be hosting a Blue Christmas at 5 o'clock on the 21st. There's many more announcements in there, so pay attention. It's a busy week. And then just a, I don't want to say personal, but church announcement. We want to keep everyone's attention to the congregation meeting coming in January. And with that, some of our council members are transitioning out. So there's space open for everybody. And I would ask you to prayerfully think about an opportunity of serving on the church council. The worst part about that job is that you have to spend more time with me and you have lots of fun. It's not that bad. But there are spots open. There's always room. If you're thinking about or in that spot where you think, I wish I could do something more with the church, this is your opportunity. Please, if you're thinking about it, come talk to me and prayerfully consider that. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some other announcements, but it is what it is at this point. So let us move on to the benediction. God of ending and beginnings, God in the darkness and the light, God our hope for the journey, bless and keep you now and forever. Go in peace, wait for Emmanuel.
Thanks be to God.